This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good afternoon, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Chloe Watt and Toby Nace. We begin with Harvest Hotline, brought to you by U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and the North Dakota Mill. Terrain, grain, and oilseed analyst Bree Botts is on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. The Red River Farm Network spoke to her while she was on the stop in far southwestern Iowa.
What we've seen so far today looks really, really good, kind of a lot better compared to Nebraska, especially on the soybean side. Just we saw a lot more white mold and pest pressure on the beans, and then here over on the Iowa side, everything looked really, really clean. So out of five fields, I only saw one bean plant that had a little bit of white mold. But otherwise, looking really good over here on the Iowa side.
Botts, there are some issues with corn that she saw Tuesday while in Nebraska.
The yields certainly are not going to be like what they were last year. So for my car specifically that moved through Ashland over to Neb City, we were averaging 160 bushels per acre on the corn side. And then as we hopped on over, a lot of western bean cutworm, too, by the way, was seen almost in every single field, I think, of corn in Nebraska. And now that we've hopped over here in Iowa, everything looks really, really good. The further east we move, the better the corn looks. And so I'm expecting that's probably going to be the theme as we start to move north.
Crop Scouts on the western side of the Pro Farmer Tour will end their day at Spencer, Iowa, head to far southern Minnesota tomorrow. The eastern leg of the tour is going from Bloomington, Illinois to Riverside, Iowa today.
Crop conditions remain mostly favorable near Murdoch, Minnesota, but another rain would help finish the crop. Farmer Jesse Olson says his area is holding up better than some of the drier parts of Minnesota.
Overall, it's pretty good. I mean, if we don't get anything here the next week or two, it'd be really nice to get just something, help fill everything out with beans and everything. But at the moment, you don't see any drying up patches or any of that stuff. Maybe on some sand spots, but we're pretty flat and black around here.
Soybean aphids have required some attention. Olson says late July rain helped the crop, and some growers spray to protect soybean yield potential.
We aren't dealing with many pests at all. Guys had to spray for aphids. Not everybody, but a lot of them did. They were right at threshold, or maybe there was just a lot of uncertainty and thing. We had gotten that rain the end of July there, 3 inches. We got about 3.5 inches of rain, which just kind of saved our butts. And then a lot of pods had, or a lot of blooms had been, were firing at the top foot and a half or so, and a lot of people want to try to protect those.
Near Wahpeton, North Dakota, Chris Johnson says small grain harvest went very well, and row crops are looking very good thanks to some timely rain.
Small grains have been done for several days now. I think we finished on the 7th of August, I believe. Yields are about average, quality, very good. High protein, high test weight. We are very fortunate in the small area that I live in. We have received good rainfall at the right time, and I would say we still could use a little bit more, but compared to Fargo and North, for example, we're way ahead of those people.
When it comes to soybeans and sugar beets, the timeline seems to be right on track this year.
I would say so. You know, in my area, we are generally combining soybeans. If I had to pick a day, probably the 25th of September usually, and starting then and going on, I would say that it would be normal. It's neither ahead nor behind. The guys that have sugar beets, they did some pre-lift. I have not heard what they are finding out there.
Dry weather continues to test the crops in northeast North Dakota. CHS Langdon Regional Sales Manager Kyle Rolness says weekend showers brought little relief.
We're definitely dry. We had a few little showers come through over the weekend. I've heard you know, minimal results from, you know, maybe a tenth up to 3/4 tenths. Nothing earth-shattering, but we're definitely dry. The crop so far seems to be visually withstanding pretty well. And of course, the ultimate results will come when folks get some combines rolling here. Probably later this week, we'll start to get a little more idea what's out there.
Rolna says newer crop genetics are helping the fields handle the heat and the lack of rain better than the varieties from years ago.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, the investment that the seed companies have made into building hybrids or varieties, depending on what crop you're talking about, that have just different tolerances, and heat's one of the ones, and drought is another one that they're focusing on. We're a long ways from quote unquote perfect, but we're definitely taking some strides in the right direction from where we were in years past.
Insect pressure has been fairly light. Combine should begin rolling later this week, giving farmers a first real look at yields.
Sugar beet pre-pile harvest is moving into its second week in the Red River Valley. Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association Executive Director Harrison Weber says factories are running, but early results are mixed.
What are we entering now? Week two of pre-pile here, and got some beets on the slabs, and the factories are slicing and making sugar. So, kind of some buzz in the countryside, and good to get out there and see what the crop's looking like. To be honest, unfortunately, there's some areas that are really struggling right now. A wide disparity of tonnage. Good sugar contents throughout the valley regardless, but certainly in those pockets where we've been dry, we've seen that tonnage kind of dropping off right now.
Weber says rain would be welcomed across the valley. And that was your Harvest Hotline, and it was sponsored by U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and the North Dakota Mill.
Senate Agriculture Committee is scheduled to take up the farm bill again as soon as they return from the summer recess. Republicans and Democrats remain divided over SNAP error rates. North Dakota Senator John Hoeven said the GOP has already made concessions on the timeline for implementation.
It was to go into effect October 1 of 2007. We have now agreed to delay it till October 1, 2008. That is 2 years. And so we're still getting the savings because states are working to get that error rate down. So we're getting savings, and we have given them a compromise, and they need to take it. And we're hopeful after they get home and talk to their farmers and get through their primaries or whatever their issue is, when we take that bill to the floor, that they'll get on board and help. And they got to quit holding up our farmers and ranchers. Our guys need help. They're in a tough situation with low commodity prices and high input prices, and we need to get this done.
Hoeven still sees a path forward for a farm assistance package.
Working with the White House, we have it both in the supplemental, if we can get some Democrats to support us on the supplemental, and we also put it in our Reconciliation 3 bill, along with Save America Act and some help for our military. Those three things are in the Reconciliation 3 bill, and we're working on both. And it's my intention that we get either one or the other passed, so that would include some help, some more farm bridge assistance.
For Leeds, North Dakota farmer Erica Kenner, the H2A program has become essential to keeping the farm running. Kenner says the program has allowed their operation to expand, but delays and paperwork continue to create challenges.
Well, the H2A program has really allowed us to expand our operation and stay in the business. So without it, we really couldn't continue the way we are. So I'm very thankful for the program. However, there have been challenges in the last few years with timelines, just workers not being able to get here on time, paperwork getting held up, and many other challenges that was nice to be able to discuss with Congresswoman Fedorchuk, and I think going forward we may be able to get some solutions.
Kenner says growing demand for H-2A workers has also created backlogs at U.S. consulates as farms across rural North Dakota struggle to find enough local workers.
The last year especially was just tight at the consulates. They were so jammed up. The program has gotten more popular, and the need is there. There's more farms needing these employees because, let's face it, the local areas, the workforce just isn't there anymore. These rural areas, the population is dwindling, and the people who are there already have jobs. And you're just not getting people wanting to come to northern North Dakota or some of these rural areas. And so it's been tough. The job service stats show that in North Dakota, all the job openings.
North Dakota Farm Bureau President Val Wagner says the H-2A conversation goes beyond immigration. Wagner, a farmer and rancher from Monango, North Dakota, says access to reliable workforce is also an issue for food security and keeping farm and ranches operating.
I think the biggest issue is we have to realize that this is not just an immigration issue. This is truly a food security issue nationally. Our farms and ranches rely on having labor that they know is going to be there. And so the timeliness and everything else is so important for us to be able to bring in our harvest, for our crops, for planting, all of that. So it is just of the utmost importance for us to understand this isn't just about immigration and people traveling here from other countries. It is about ensuring that we have a workforce and to be able to continue to farm and ranch.
Wagner says the newly introduced legislation may not address every concern in agriculture, but she sees it as a step forward finding longer-term workforce solutions.
I think the best part about the bill that was introduced is it gets us talking about it and it gets us moving in the right direction. Is it perfect for agriculture? Probably not. But does it get us closer to where we want to be? Definitely. And I think that's where we have to take our wins where we can. And hopefully we can have a lot more conversations about moving this forward and getting that signed.
New World screwworm has been flying under the radar recently, and it's good news for livestock producers. In the U.S., reported cases have taken a major step down since the 30 back in June, with only 2 reports this month. And as of today, only 4 active cases in Texas.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. South Dakota soybean leaders are focused on adding value close to home. Speaking at Dakota Fest in Mitchell, South Dakota Soybean Research and Promotion Council District 1 Director Bruce Haynes says the new soybean crush plant near Mitchell is already having an impact.
Today's basis is plus 65. And so that's a wonderful basis. And so, unfortunately, the basis, as we all know, comes and goes with supply and demand, but that's a huge injection of value to the area around us. And, you know, 34 to 36 million a crush is really, really good for the area. It's been an outstanding relationship that we've had with those folks.
Haynes says South Dakota is now crushing more than half of its soybean crop in-state, creating demand for both soybeans and soybean meal.
We are going to crush over 50% of our soybeans in South Dakota, so we've added a lot of value right there. The meal market that we have is really solid. We're able to crush those soybeans, and there's a market for that meal, and that meal is doing very well. Our goal in some of the bigger I states, they crush up to 60% of their soybeans. We're still at 50. We want to grow that crush if we can because, again, more value.
Haynes says the checkoff is also looking at new opportunities for soybean oil, including High Lake soybeans for the dairy market. Before we check markets, a chance to give away some tickets to the Western Minnesota Steam Threshers Reunion, Rolog, Minnesota, Labor Day weekend, featuring the Steiger Tractors this year. Give us a call, 701-795-1315. That's 701-795-1315 for your complimentary gate tickets to Rolog. Checking markets, we're 15 cents higher for Minneapolis wheat, September, 691 and a quarter. Chicago wheat, December, 13 higher, and we're 14 and a half better for KC wheat. September corn, 7 3/4 higher, 471. New crop is 8 cents higher. Soybeans, September, 12, 20 and a half, 19 and 3/4 cents higher. November, 18 and a half higher. And the Dow right now, up 105 points. Thanks for listening. This is the Red River Farm Network.